Yo, what's up? Welcome back to Moving Forward, the podcast where we give young people a voice and the opportunity to speak on their experiences and ambitions. This week we're in Lancaster and I'm with Sam Webster. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm very good, thank you, Caleb. I'm doing very well.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. We're going to be talking today, Sam, as usual, about your course because we're at your accommodation at the minute. We're in Lancaster. It's nearly Christmas, so you'll probably be coming back home at some point anyway. But for now, how is this second year going for you?
I'd say second year is a lot better than first year for me personally, especially with like the course as well, and just general living and enjoying uni life has been definitely a lot better in the second year. So for example, in the course now, we can choose modules instead of just having to have like a set curriculum of what to do. So for example, you might have a module on an area of history. So I do history and international relations. So there might be an area of history you really want to do, and you can choose that. Or, for example, an area of international relations, like an area in the world you really want to focus on. Instead of just having like a blanket, like time period or set curriculum, you get to choose. And I think that makes it like a lot like more engaging, and you want to show up more and you want to pursue it more.
So do you go through like all the potential options in the first year and you sort of know what they would have in store, or are you just going for something that you've not really touched on in uni?
So when they have the modules, they release them at the end of last year, and so you have like a document. There's like a certain amount of points you have to hit, and each module is worth a certain amount of points. And so you see them all. For example, some of them are this term, and then some of them are next term. I don't think there's any in the third term, but basically you have to choose them. And for example, you get so it's an area you like. For example, there's an area about the Cold War that I'm doing next term, and that's somewhere that's like a period of history that I really like. So you get to choose that, and obviously if you've done that before, that's great. But with uni, you find that obviously it's like higher education, so you'll learn a lot more in depth, and I think that's really good with the modules, just being able to choose what you want to do.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it sounds like they've sort of, I guess, set you up nicely. And I assume you probably knew all that before you joined uni. But what was it that attracted you to the course in the first place? What was the main thing?
So when I went to a Lancaster Open Day about 2 years ago now, I went to the options area, and I didn't know what to do because I did so at sixth form I did history and politics, and I really liked both of them. So I was like, I don't really know which one I want to choose, because I was thinking, what if I want a career in like the government or politics, something like that? But I also really like history, and I couldn't choose. And then I saw they had advertised like history and international relations, or history and politics, or there was one where you could do all three. And I was like, well, I saw a history and international relations, and I prefer international politics to domestic, like stuff that happens in the UK. But yeah, no, I saw that. I was like, oh, that'd be great, because I get to do history, and I also get to do something that I really enjoy. Yeah, and then you had to, in the first year, kind of pick like smaller modules, but I just like got away with that and just picked German to learn German as language, because it's something that I'd always like really want to. I still want to do
So you just did German, what, for the bands?
it. Kind of. I did really want to learn it. Like I did it. I do it on and off, very like rarely. But
So is that through your choice now? Are you using Duolingo or something?
so I use Duolingo, or sometimes I have like a German dictionary and
Oh,
stuff
wow.
that I'll look at. But yeah, I did learn a lot from it in the first year. But sometimes like. It was rough, like, because one of the teachers was like they were like both of the teachers were really, really good, and so one of them was like a native German, and one of them practically had like been live like exposed to learning German since like the late 1980s. So when you'd get something wrong in like a class, because we had like a seminar, it wasn't like almost like a lecture, like it would be more similar to a it was a beginner's course, so it was more similar to, for example, like a GCSE classroom, or just like when you have to learn a language. So yeah, getting stuff wrong and that was rough, and sometimes it made you not want to go. But no, I said that was definitely why I was it was better to choose
So do you
a
have a love for
language.
Germany then or something? Because I know you talk about history. Germany's massively involved with history, particularly within the last 100 years.
I think that's where it kind of started. But also when I went to my high school for the first time, you were basically assigned a language based on what side of the year you were on. Like there were two houses on each year, So I was assigned to the German side.
Oh, okay.
So I'd done French before at primary school. I didn't know anything, but I just think I like German because I always find it a bit easier and it just a bit more. It's a lot more similar to English. So I just really seem to like the culture there, and it just really fascinates me, to be fair. So,
well, it's very interesting, and definitely the history and politics bit is so interesting, because when I left uni, it was a February, and I was thinking, maybe it's not too late for me to change my course. And I actually wanted to change it to a contemporary history and politics course, but they basically said it was too late in the day. If you want to do that, you'll have to come back next September. And obviously, I don't have any past qualifications in it, technically, no matter how much I may know. So is that something, like you said, you've obviously done that before, and that was that something that you probably thought for the last few years that you wanted to pursue it at uni?
Yeah, so you're talking about the German stuff or just the
course in general? Well, I mean, I guess the whole thing, but the history and politics in particular.
Yeah, history and politics, yeah. So I'd always been into history from I don't know, since I started. I just really liked it. Mm. And I think that was always something that I wanted to pursue, because I took it at GCSE and A level. It obviously was mainly my most favorite subject. So I feel like for the longest time, I didn't know what I wanted to do at uni. Like, it was or do anything in the future. Like, people would say, what do you want to do? And I didn't know. So but I did like history. I did like, obviously, and I liked, humanities. I did geography as well at GCSE.
Okay.
Yes. so I feel like definitely when I got to time to start looking at unis, history was the main choice. And obviously politics, was very strong, but when I found out I could do both of them, that was when it was really, really good.
So what is, other than the politics being removed, how difficult is the history side of it compared to just a straight up history degree?
So what do you mean? Is it the same?
Well, I know that history degrees and history A levels are usually sort of deemed to be incredibly difficult.
Right.
And how does this compare to that? Is it still the same difficulty?
So with the history degree, with history and international relations, it's basically two degrees in one almost. So the history degree is unchanged. It's not like you get a lesser down version to fit time, and it's two full degrees just. But with history, you'd have, if I didn't choose international relations, I'd have to choose a module in the first year that was for example, one of them was, a friend of mine did the Romans, and it's you could either go into eras of history, or you had the main course, the main central course, basically, then different eras you go off into. But yeah, it's not too dissimilar from a normal history course.
Because you said there that it's almost like two different degrees, but, and I know we said before we started that you get two certificates at the end of the 3 years or however long it is. But to me, it almost sounds like you get two certificates and it's basically all the same content. Surely that's two degrees. Bro, it's just so clever.
I don't know how. I think maybe it is kind of I think it is just a joint degree. I'm not sure if it is two. I need to look it up. It's been a long time since I've looked at the syllabus or whatever. The course outline. But it's a degree in history and international relations.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think how it differs from a different history degree, I'm not sure if it's more prestigious or something. I don't know if that's what they look for, but because my friend just does history, plain history.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, he has to do a lot more modules. So for example, you'd have to choose eight modules or six modules.
Oh, wow.
Alongside the two that you have to do anyway. So for me, I only had to choose four history modules because obviously I do international relations. So I think you're doing around about the same kind of work, because otherwise you'd have to choose these extra classes. So I think it is just similar, but obviously, it's two different things. So in that way, it might be a bit more difficult. But I think it's the same kind of workload. It's just split across different subjects.
In terms of what you'd be looking to do after the course, then, is there anything that you sort of have in your immediate future that you're thinking, I'd like to do this, or maybe I'm going to take time out and do something else? What would you see at the end of your uni experience being the most likely next step?
Most likely. So, obviously, I still am not 100% sure.
Or maybe not most likely, but obviously the ambition.
What I'd like to do, yeah. So For a while, I've considered going into like politics. I mean, I'm not sure if I'd be an MP. Maybe I'd try, but I don't know. We'll see how that went. But obviously, you've got to be elected as an MP, and the place where obviously I could run somewhere else, but the place where I live back home, I'm probably never going to get elected there because, yeah.
Is that because of appeal to the general
Yeah,
population or?
I don't know if, like, obviously because where the constituency that I'm from filed is linked with Lib Ibs and Ans, and so that's not, they follow like political beliefs that aren't what I believe in, so I probably n would never be elected there because I wouldn't run for the same party. But in terms of like an actual career, maybe like in the civil service, like one really big ambition is I really want to be like a governor for like an overseas territory.
Oh
That'd be really
wow.
cool, like governor of Gibraltar or something like that, one of the British Virgin Islands.
Like the big leagues.
The big league, where it's nice and warm and you don't have to live there. But something like that might be nice. But yeah, I'd say definitely someone in the civil service, whether that's actually, like, obviously it would take time to get like a higher position like that, but so I mean it could just be like an assistant civil service, or it could be pathways into like the judicial system. Obviously, I didn't take law, but pathways into that kind of area would be.
It's interesting when you mentioned before about the whole MP thing, because being a young person in general, we don't really see a lot of young MPs, understandably, because it would take a while to sort of build up to that, I guess, status. But do you think that's something that in the future, especially with a lot of people our age going to uni, and I guess for a lot of them actually getting a better education and understanding more than maybe people who I don't know, are older, for example, do you think we will start seeing like more young MPs or people involved with representing certain constituencies that are young?
I'd like to think that we would, but there's still, and I think that when we get older, we won't have this bias. But you see it when you see like in a young, I think the youngest MP is like 25 or something, and you see him when he goes on the news, and they're all like, "Oh, you've got no, that person's got more life experience than you," and they keep saying all this life experience stuff. And I like to think that, because as we are getting older, we'll realize that, life experience, as long as a person is not, like, it's useful to have, but I don't think it should be the be all or end all, because you get experience, and you can obviously, if you come from like a certain area or something, like you've had like extra exposure to the stuff, you'll have experience already. So I don't think age plays a massive factor in life experience. Like, for example, if you lived 40 years in like not getting a job or something,
Yeah, it's about what
you
you've
wouldn't
done
have any
in the time you've
experience.
had.
Yeah,
Yeah, sure.
exactly. So I think that we will see a lot more young MPs. I think definitely with, certain parties definitely appealing to younger people, like the Greens and Reform really appeal to younger people. So I feel like they'll have more younger MPs, but I feel like for some of them, it will just be like older people, like middle-aged people.
Well, I think it's probably not something that we've really thought about that much. I mean, I don't remember politics ever being spoken about in school, barely even in sixth form, to be fair. It was only really at university when people hit that voting age and maybe they start to become more involved, whether they know about it or not. So I guess now it is absolutely something that's relevant. And one day there will have to be somebody our age in one of these positions. They can't just be vacant and non-existent. But yeah, I guess the engagement level, if that can increase, that is a positive thing, because it's never going to fizzle out, politics, and it's always going to be there. Would you be able to be a constituency for Lancaster?
I think maybe, because I don't think you actually have to be from where the constituency is. And obviously, I live here technically now. I had like a letter going through the post telling me that if I didn't tell them that I lived here and that signed me up for voting, I'd get a fine. So,
Oh wow! So you're like eligible in
I think
Lancaster.
I am eligible to vote here now, I believe, but I don't actually know.
Is that because you're in technically like because you're not on campus anymore? Is it because of like where you live, like in an
Well, it's
actual house?
because as like a tenant, you're also deemed as living in that area, so you're able to vote. For example, if you rent the property in London, like you'd be able to vote in like the mayoral election or like the general election stuff. So So I guess I could, but I don't plan to live here next year, so I don't
Yeah,
know.
okay. So obviously it is a 3-year course then. And what would your sort of, I don't know, would you have any words to anybody else who's looking to do what you've done? on a course like this?
On a course like this. So I'd definitely say one of the main things is, you know, to pay attention to the readings that they give you. Like, my biggest flaw is probably that when they hand out readings and stuff, like, I'll just gloss over them or sometimes not do it. But definitely to help you, like, understand the course in a much greater light. Like, do the readings, do the additional readings, because you'll be far more informed. Like, for example, in international relations, there's all these different, like, theories, like liberalism and, like, I don't know, like, realism, constructivism, stuff like that. You have to learn and then able to apply into what you're learning. So definitely pay attention to the material that you're given, because that will really help you further, you know, progress in the course. You should be able to write better answers. And, yeah.
Do you ever find it difficult to not concentrate? But the worst thing is always, like, you read something, but you just haven't read it, and you have to go back, and then it just takes up time, and it's just frustrating.
All the time. I remember with the readings, sometimes it just goes blank from your head. Like, but the worst was German last year, when I'd be trying to revise it, and I'd read it. Like, oh, that means so-and-so. And then 5 minutes later, I can't remember it. It was, like, crazy. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Okay. And what would your words be to maybe Sam from 5 years ago? Because 5 years is a huge amount of time for somebody as young as we are.
Oh, God.
Any words for a younger Sam?
5 years ago, God.
It doesn't have to be five, but four and a half, you never know.
That's really hard. 5 years ago, wasn't it? 2020.
I mean, you've just left school, for example, and you probably know what you want to do at sixth form, but uni's, like, a long way away yet, and you're sort of thinking, what words of advice could you give to him?
I'd definitely say, you got to put in 100% effort all the time. Like, I feel like, to an extent, I coasted through sixth form. Like, I didn't put in, you know, as much as I could have, which, like, a lot of people are doing, because I think, oh, it's still, like, high school, you know, where it's like, whatever you show up, do your homework. Like, and for GCSEs, like, I didn't revise all that much, and I still got decent results. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's fine. But there was a real wake-up call when I went to get my A-level results, and I didn't do too bad. It was two C's, but at the time I thought I wasn't going to get into Lancaster because I had to get two B's to get into Lancaster. They still let me in anyway for some reason, but definitely, you know, you always have to put in 100% effort, and definitely, you know, if you've really got to want this, because you got to want to do what you, like, you got to have ambition, you got to have drive, because, you know, it's at the end of the day, university is a lot of money.
So. Absolutely. And do you think that probably helped you then on the personal statement, for example? Because we know a lot of people who maybe haven't had the grades, but the personal statement might have got them over the line. And surely that would have been a huge, if you were saying, oh, I'm really passionate, they would have been like, oh, we love this guy.
So for me, actually, my personal statement, I really struggled to write it, because I was thinking to myself, what have I actually done? Now with certain stuff like the CV and stuff like that, you can definitely write a lot more, because, but at the time, like a year ago, a year and a half ago, when I was trying to write my personal statement, I really struggled to do it, because I was like, well, what can I write about myself? Because, you know, you write about your interests and stuff and stuff you've done, but you get these people who have done courses on, like, you know, they've done, like, volunteering and, you know, stuff like that, and they've got way more. And it's sometimes hard with a personal statement to articulate yourself as why you should let you in, but I feel like, definitely, you know, if that you're in that situation, you can get help from, like, staff at a school, or definitely, like, people around you definitely help as well for personal statements, just realizing what you've actually achieved and how to articulate that.
Do you think that the course itself has, I mean, how many people are on it? Is it, like, a high attended course? Because obviously if they have the numbers of people who want to do it, then the competition is going to be more.
Yeah, it is quite a big course. But I think at the time when they had that, Lancaster was just, I don't know if they had as many people as they would have wanted.
So you mean last year?
Last year, yeah. So I think that's why I got in. Like, they did it for a lot of people who didn't get the grades. They just let people in, I think, because they didn't have as many people as they wanted, so it made it easier. But the course itself, there's a fair amount of people on it, to be fair. It's quite a big course, but it's not like, you know, like physics or, or like engineering or English or stuff like that. But, and for example, attendance is usually pretty bad in, like, lectures.
Well, just across the board?
It's not great, no.
You mean for you or just for people in general? Both.
bit both sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, why do you think that is then? Because we've all been to school for years, you know, sat behind a desk for 15 years, and then people come to uni and it's like a struggle to turn up to two lectures a week.
Yeah, no. To be honest, with me, it's primarily the lack of threat for not... Obviously, there is a threat there. Like, if you don't go in, it's like, you know, you'll get, like, if you don't miss, if you miss, like, 20 lectures, you'll be, like, well, not lectures, 20 seminars. Like, you'll be, like, well, you'll have a meeting, and then you, if you fail to attend again and again, you'll be expelled. But for me, when I was younger, definitely my parents, they really wouldn't let me not go to school. Mm. I'd try, and like they'd be like, "No, go to school." And I'd be like, "Oh." So yeah, I definitely think that's the thing. Also, it's not as bad now, but last year, really, the lack of friends. Is like, for example, somebody you know to sit next to in a lecture or a class. Obviously, you're not here primarily for friends. You're here to get a degree. But with school, one of the main reasons I really enjoyed high school and sixth form is because I had friends and people there that I knew and I could sit next to in those lessons. But definitely with Lancaster, especially in the first year, it's not too bad now, in the first year, is primarily, you know, due to the lack of threat. Nobody's like breathing down your neck saying,
yeah,
go in.
Exactly,
or,
yeah.
Or just the lack of people I knew, like, to...
I guess it's more of that freedom. You're sort, yeah, of in control of what you do and when you go, etc. Do you have any sort of... how is it like to live in Lancaster itself? Because Lancaster is a city, but it's a sort of old sort of town. I've been there before. The campus is pretty good. Mm. I feel like the reason why it's so good is because I don't really associate Lancaster really being near anywhere else. So what's it like living here?
I much prefer living here than actually on the campus. So I don't know why. I'd say, well, if I had to guess, I'd say probably because, you know, there's that like uni, like outside of uni life balance. Obviously, when you're on a campus, people really like the fact that when you're in uni, it's all together and, you know,
you can
go to your class and you can go back to your room and then meet your friends and stuff like that. But I also think being off campus and like not being, obviously, you know, there's not as many, there's a load of students around, because, you know, it's a student town, student city. But being away from it definitely helps. And obviously living with two other people has probably been really helpful. Like, obviously last year, you know, I had like a kitchen. I had people I lived with and I saw them, but I only ever saw them really when I was eating. Like now we'll sit down in the house and chat and stuff like that.
Yeah, like the people that you straight up want to be with. Yeah.
The city's really nice anyway. It's got loads of shops. It's really friendly. There's always something on. So yeah, I really like it.
Class. So what would your final words be on this podcast, Sam?
Final words?
Just to summarize or maybe what do you want to say to end the episode?
I'd definitely say the main thing at university is don't miss one lecture, because then you'll start missing loads and then that just kind of spirals. So, you know, you got to keep going, guys. You got to keep going. You got to attend and then, you know, you'll be just fine. Don't miss one and then, because you'll end up missing loads. And you'll have to go and research.
Fair enough. Well, thank you very much for coming on, Sam.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I've not had you on before. And I don't know if I've done one in Lancaster before. I might have done, but nice little accommodation. And thanks for coming on. So, I'll see you soon, because I know you're coming back for Christmas, and I'll see all of you guys hopefully next week with another guest. Farewell.